in the room this morning. Thank you for leading us, showing us what we miss out on out here every week. I'm about to show you the goodness that you miss out on every week. Now, really, Claudia, thank you. Your work on behalf of our kids is amazing. Your consistency with them. I think we see the benefits of that all throughout our body, both in the girls that are up here on stage leading, guy in the back that preaches sometime came through her ministry. They're just, the effects of that are immeasurable. And so, we're certainly grateful for that. Parents, if you are worried about your, kids being out here with you, let me set you at ease. If they are loud or they act crazy, it will feel just like home to me. Okay? That's what I'm used to, a bunch of little kids running around, being interrupted. The other day, I just went, was going to try to use the bathroom, and I just opened the door up and closed the door and was just about to use the bathroom, and 2 seconds later, Langston came in, and he busted the door down, and he was carrying a stool, and he set the stool right down next to the potty, and he looked up at me, and he said, "Daddy, I want to watch you." I said, "Son, I think there's probably laws against that. I say that to say, your kid's probably not going to interrupt anything I'm trying to do up here, okay? The task will be accomplished. Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. And this is what the text says. It says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?'" Which is the great commandment in the law? "And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.'" Let's pray over the reading of the word. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. God, thank you for all the ways that you've already spoke to us this morning. I pray that you would continue to speak. I pray that we would connect some dots, that maybe we would see some things that we haven't seen before. Move in this place today. God, I think there's probably some people in here who came in and they thought, "Oh, it's a kids' day. It'll be about them. Probably not anything for me." I pray right now you would break down that barrier, God, that you would let them know that not only can they get a word from me on this day, but they can get a word from the mouth of babes on this day, and we're grateful for that. God, I pray that you would speak. I pray that you would use the power of your word to do it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have you ever thought about what you would ask Jesus if you had the opportunity to ask him one question? If you had the chance to ask him anything, you break through the crowd, you get his attention, his gaze is set upon your gaze, you lock eyes. This is your chance. I mean, maybe you would ask him if he would heal somebody in your life that you love that is sick. Maybe you'd ask him if he would repair or restore something in your own life that is broken. Maybe you'd ask him why he allows there to be pain in the world at all. Maybe you'd ask him if he would put in a good word for you with his dad. Maybe you would ask him how your pastors can be at the same time so handsome and brilliant. I mean, any of life's immeasurable, difficult, you know, these difficult questions. In the text that we just read, a lawyer had the chance to do this very thing, to ask Jesus one question, whatever it was that he wanted to do. And I think that the question that he chose to ask him was a brilliant one. Now, we got to know first that this lawyer is not like we typically think about lawyers today. He didn't have a person as a client. He wasn't like a prosecutor or a defense attorney. His client was the Old Testament. He worked on behalf of scrolls. He defended the words of the law and the prophets. It was his job to try and ensure that when people studied the scriptures, they were staying true to how they interpreted them. The only thing I think we could compare it to today would maybe be constitutional lawyers, people who work on behalf of that document, trying to ensure that we stay true in our country to the things that's written down in the Constitution. Now, with that said, it should come as no surprise to us that this lawyer, when he gets a chance to ask Jesus one question, that the question he asked him revolves around biblical interpretation. I mean, he knew Jesus was wise. He'd already heard this list of answers that Jesus had given to the Pharisees and Sadducees. And so he saw this as an opportunity to ask him about. This is his field of study. This is what he works in. And so he asked Jesus this question. He says, "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" What is the greatest commandment in the law? Essentially what he's asking Jesus is, out of the whole Old Testament, Jesus, what do you deem to be the most important things in there? This is the way Jesus responded. He quoted two passages of Scripture. Both texts would have been very familiar to the lawyer. First, he went to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, a text that we commonly refer to as the Shema. And he quotes the second part of the Shema, which says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." He says, this is the primary, this is the most important commandment. And then he goes, and the second one is like it. This time he quotes the second part of Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 that says, "And love your neighbor as you love yourself." Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And Jesus says, the whole Old Testament, all the works of the law and the prophet hinge on these two commandments. This is Jesus' way of essentially saying, like, these two texts, they're primary. Everything else that is in the Old Testament is just explaining how to do one of those two things better. You want to know where Jesus stands in terms of the Old Testament, that text, these are the two primary commandments. Now, I call your attention to that passage this morning because I think for a large portion of my life that I have misinterpreted this text. You know, sometimes we refer to this as the greatest commandment. Sometimes it's a variation of the golden rule. And I've always grown up and just thought that this was, if you had to give a summary of Jesus' beliefs or a summary of Jesus' ethic, that you could quote this passage of Scripture. That maybe if Jesus were still around today and I could ask him, "Jesus, what's most important to you in terms of how to live my life?" that he might say, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." But as of this week, I no longer believe that. I don't think that's what's going on here, and I want to explain to you why. You see, the lawyer doesn't come and ask Jesus to give a summary of his own beliefs. He doesn't ask Jesus to give a summary of his own ethics. He doesn't ask Jesus to give a summary of his own values. That's not the question. He asked him to speak to the greatest commandment in the Old Testament. So Jesus' answer, when we hear it, he's not speaking of his own heart, his own expectations, his own beliefs. Rather, he's highlighting these are the two most important things in the Old Testament. Now, I know that seems like a subtle difference, but I think you're going to see here in a second why it's so important. In almost every other case in the Scripture, when Jesus quotes the Old Testament, when he quotes an Old Testament, particularly when he quotes the rules or when he quotes the laws, he almost always, his views and his opinions almost always extend, his expectations are almost always greater than those rules. Like, he has higher standards for his followers than the law had for his adherents. This is all going to make sense to you in a minute. Let me give you a couple of examples. We can think about the Sermon on the Mount. You'll remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said a couple of things. He said, "You've heard it said, do not commit a murder. Do not commit murder or you'll be liable to judgment. But I say, if you're angry with a brother, you're already liable to judgment." He says, "You've heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I say, if you've looked at a person lustfully, you've already committed adultery with them in your heart." All these times in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has taken a law, a rule, a standard from the Old Testament, and then he's stretching it. He's putting his own touch on it. He's saying, my expectations are higher. What I expect out of my followers, what I expect out of people who are part of the kingdom, is always greater than what the law expects out of his adherents. Now, I wonder why, when it comes to the greatest commandment, we've never wondered about that. Why we don't see him stretching that? And I think in reality we do, and this is where I've missed it. Turn with me to John chapter 15, 9 through 12. I want you to see this text, and I'm really hoping that you'll catch what I'm talking about here. You'll see what I want you to see. Because this is the passage that kind of shook me this week in terms of, I started out trying to figure out what's Jesus' ethic? What's the main thing he tries to pass on to the disciples? I went first to that greatest commandment, to what we quoted, and then I saw this text and I thought, oh, this is more. This is greater. This is what we should be quoting. Here it is. John 15, 9 through 12. See if you catch it. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Did you see it? Really, did you see it? It's right there in verse 12. Jesus says, this is my commandment. Like, this is my standard. This is my rule. He asked me about the Old Testament. I gave him my opinion about the Old Testament. Love the Lord your God all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. But this is my commandment. This is what I lean on. Jesus says, as I have loved you, that's how you're supposed to go and love other people. The things that you've seen me do, the way that you've seen me love people, the way that you have experienced my love, you're supposed to take that and go love people like that. I think we put this in with the flow of the Sermon on the Mount. We could almost hear Jesus saying, you have heard it said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But I say, love one another as I have loved you. Church, that's a different thing. Do you see it really? Because I feel like I'm the only one. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's a different standard. That's a much more difficult thing to do. That's going to be harder. That's going to be harder for us. So, in summary, just where we are so far, key to the Old Testament idea of social interaction, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Key to Jesus' teachings on social interaction, as I have loved you, that's how I want you to love one another. Now, the question that I really want us to reflect on this morning, church, and the kids have already talked about it a little bit in their own way, but it is this: how is Christ's love for us different than human love? How is it different? When we see the move made from love your neighbor like you love yourself to love others as Jesus loved you, what's the standard change? What's the difference? Is it significant? Because I think it's significant, is the gap. The question that I want to kind of linger on your minds this morning, I'm going to have the guys put it up in the back, and I think my digits are going to come right up with it. Here's the question. How is Jesus' love different than any other love that you've experienced? How is Jesus' love different than any other love that you've experienced? I've got my phone right here. It's on. I'm going to ask you, if you would, for the next few minutes, reflect on that question. Text me in your answer to that. You don't have to put your name on it. If it's cuss words, I'll just know it's Spidey. But just, how is Jesus' love different than any other love that you have experienced? I want you to type that on your phone. You got an excuse to have your phones out now. Pull it out. Put my number in. Text me your answer to that, and we're going to talk about those in a minute. I'm also going to take my Fitbit off so that my hand doesn't blow up, I hope, while these come through. While we're waiting on some of your alls to come in, I want to take a few minutes and just tell you some ways that I thought of this week that I believe Jesus' love is different than human love. Things that set his love apart from our love. Why it is so much a higher standard for him to say, don't love people like you love yourself, but love as I have loved you. I want you to see that. Here's a few of them. This is number one. I'm going to give you four. Number one, Christ's love for us is beyond reason. Christ's love for us is beyond reason. It doesn't make sense. Jesus doesn't love you because of anything. He doesn't love you because you did something good. He doesn't love you because you gave $10 to some homeless person. Here's the truth. If you could take a whole highlight reel of your entire life, every good deed that you'd ever done, and just play it for him straight at one time, it would all appear before him as filthy rags compared to his purity and his righteousness. You and Jesus are the couple walking down the street that when people see you walking, they think, how did she get him? How did he get her? There's no way the two of you all belong together. He's that much greater than you are. Do you understand what I'm saying? He doesn't love you because of anything. It's a very unreasonable sort of love. He loves you because love is who he is. It's what pours out of him. That kind of love doesn't need a reason. He just loves because he wants to love. Christ's love for us is beyond reason. That's number one. Number two is this. Christ's love for us has no limits. Christ's love for us has no limits. Some of you have heard me talk about this before, but for me, one of the most difficult things after both of my parents died that I dealt with was this sense of that I didn't have anybody to rely on anymore. That like if everything in my world fell apart, I didn't have anybody I could turn to. There was nobody. After they passed, I remember thinking, there's nobody I can go to if I need 50 bucks that I can get 50 bucks from and I don't have to worry about paying them back. I mean, I grew up in a hillbilly culture where I was kind of taught that you don't ask people for help because you just take care of yourself. You've only got like this very limited amount of social collateral and you don't want to use it unless you're really desperate. I mean, like this is because you might ask somebody to come and fix your bathroom sink today, but then 2 weeks later, your whole house might flood and then you really might need people. So you want to make sure that you hold on. You don't ask somebody unless it's really necessary. Church, this has been a really difficult thing for me to come to understand about the Lord. And I imagine it is for some of you too. But this is not the way that Jesus' love works. The depths of His mercy have not been set. The limits of His love have yet to be defined. His love for us is limitless. We can't outrun it. We can't outgrow it. We'll never get to the bottom of it. It's like a well that never runs dry. It's like living water, and every time you go to the spring to draw water from it, there's more than enough water to overflow your cup. Christ's love for us has no limits. That spring, that well, it's never going to run dry. There's no bottom. Number three. This one's kind of complicated unless you know Jesus well, and then you'll know what I'm talking about. Christ's love for us reveals to us our true selves. Christ's love for us reveals to us our true selves. Jean Vanier said it this way. He said, true love reveals the beauty of another person to themselves. True love reveals the beauty of another person to themselves. This is what I think that quote means. This week, Mark and I had the opportunity to go to visit with Charlotte Haney at the hospital. Charlotte is Daryl's mom, Pat's mother-in-law. She broke her foot in several places. She's in the hospital. She's going to have to rehab there. And so when you think about Miss Charlotte, pray for her. But while we were there, we were talking to her about her faith. And when she came to know the Lord and she was telling us all about it, we were surprised to hear that she didn't accept Christ until she was in her mid to late 20s. And Mark had asked her about the transformation that took place in her once she came to know Christ. And this is what she said. She said, I didn't even know who I was until I met Jesus. I didn't even know who I was until I met Jesus. She said, Jesus, I met Jesus and Jesus gave me my identity. I didn't even know what I was like. I didn't even know the things I enjoyed. I didn't know the things I appreciated until I had an encounter with Him. Church, that's Charlotte's way of saying the same thing that he's saying in that quote, that Christ's love for us, true love, reveals to us the beauty of ourselves. You will never know who you really are until you set your gaze on Him and then He'll reveal it to you. You'll never know how great you can be. You'll never know the beauty that is inside you until He looks into your eyes. Set your gaze on Him. It will reveal to you who you truly are. Christ's love for us reveals to us our true selves. Fourth one I got is this. Christ's love for us is sacrificial. Christ's love for us is sacrificial. Anne Lamott tells the story in one of her books of a brother and sister. The boy's 8 years old. He's got a sister that's 6 years old, and she has leukemia. And to be able to continue to live, she desperately needs a blood transfusion, but they don't have a match for her. They don't have a blood match. And so their parents go to the 8-year-old boy, that's about Deacon's age, and they ask him, hey, would you be willing to be tested just to see if your blood is a match? And so he agreed to the test. Sure enough, they took the test. Text showed that he was a perfect match for his sister. So the next question followed. Son, would you be willing to give some of your blood through a blood transfusion? It's your only sister's chance at living. Well, the little boy said, well, can I have a night to think about it? And so sure enough, the parents granted him the night. The next morning came. He woke up. He came into his parents' bedroom and kind of resolutely said, yeah, I'm in. Let's do it. I think this is what I'm supposed to do. They go to the hospital. Doctors set the whole thing up. Brother and sister 8 and 6, laid on a gurney next to each other. The brother's hooked up and he's watching the blood come out of his body, knowing that his sister desperately needs his blood in the gurney next to him. It's so necessary that as soon as it's coming out of him, they're getting it ready to put it in her. The doctor's watching and he looks at the boy's eyes and the boy just keeps staring at the blood and he's kind of trembling as he's looking. And so the doctor comes over to where he is and he asks the little boy how he's doing and the boy says this, "Doctor, how soon until I start to die? How soon until I start to die?" The whole time the boy thought that he was giving his blood for her. He was giving his life. It was going to take his life just so that she could live. Church, I don't know that there's a better story or illustration to describe the sacrificial love that Christ has for you. You are laid out on a gurney next to Him. He's watching as the blood is dripping out of His body into yours, knowing that the only thing that can give you life is going to lead to His death. He poured it all out for you. All the blood, all the tears, His whole body broken for your rescue. Christ's love for us, it's sacrificial. It has no limits. It's a love beyond reason. It's a love that once found reveals to us our true selves. These are the ways that I acknowledge I see His love being different from human love, things that set it apart. I want to take a few minutes and look at some of the ways that you've seen it. And this is really, as I've thought about this sermon all week, this is the part that I have been the most excited about because I just really like the idea. I think we have a lot that we can learn from each other about the way that we've experienced the love of Christ in our lives. And so I've got a lot of them. We probably won't have time to look at all of them. Hopefully some have come through on the text message here. And if you wanted to be anonymous, but my number was already in your phone, you're probably in trouble. So I'll keep these to myself. So I'm just going to go back and forth. These are our kids describing the love of Christ. This is you all talking about ways that you've experienced. This is not me preaching. This is you all preaching to yourselves, okay? This is what some of the kids have said about Jesus' love. And I've already got a runner for my favorite. His love is for everlasting. Not everlasting, for everlasting. Let's see what else we got. Jesus' love is beautiful, compassionate, and honest. This person drew a teepee. I actually think that's a church. We got two of those teepees. So Jesus loves Native Americans and teepees with crosses on them. God's love is power, caring, right, and wonderful. It's like He cares about us a lot. And this is a little nerve-wracking just reading these before I read them. So y'all are hearing them as they come in, okay? And He's with everybody, wherever they go to, He's with us. He helps a lot of people who need help with their life. Jesus' love looks like dying on the cross for our sins again. That's what that one says. Jesus' love is amazing. Jesus' love is eternal. It's for everybody. It's strong. It's great. Jesus' love is, was, and will be powerful. His love feels amazing. Better than anyone else's, His love is special. Are y'all good if I keep going? His love is everlasting for eternity. We got another picture. This one has a slice of pizza on it. It's like getting a video game or dog, whatever you like. That's what His love's like. And a slice of pizza. I got another one in the running. God's love is like power and respect. His love is powerful. His love was so great He died for us. These are your all's kids saying this. Jesus' love is awesome and amazing. It's like a big hug. And how cool is that? It's unbelievable, amazing, awesome. Lights, they're always on. So He's always keeping us safe. Oh, that's good. Jesus' love is pure. It's like nothing else in the world. It's everlasting. It's amazing. Jesus' love is shared for everyone. Powerful, great, loyal, good, loving, awesome. Jesus' love is loyal. It's unconditional and it's free. We've got another couple of teepees right here. Oh, I think there's... No. I can't understand that one. And His love is amazing. It's wonderful. It's everlasting. Jesus loved sinful men and women so much that He gave His only Son to save us. Jesus' love is like very big. And they used... Their caption speaks to that. It's like Jesus loves us so much that He died for us. That's exactly what it's like. Jesus' love is like He cares and loves us. Almost there. It's like someone is hurt, He can help them. His love is all powerful, and His love, the last one is, His love is unbelievable. Those are great. All right, let's look at some of what you guys said. Y'all, that's a lot of pressure because those were solid. Here we go. This is the way that you see. Listen to these just with the same weight that you would give any word that I spoke in my sermon. Because, again, this is you preaching to yourself. What's Jesus' love like? His love is raw. It's stripped to the core. He knows the depths of my heart, yet still loves me. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We must have been His treasure because He gave us His heart. His love is unconditional, compassionate, never-ending, true, and miraculous love. Jesus' love is always forgiving. The only thing in Jesus is love. The only love in humanity is Jesus. God is perfect. He's not a human. His love is totally complete without selfishness. He cannot stop loving you and me. Most of the time, we never start loving. When you do something bad, He still loves us. Jesus' love for us looks past anything we've done, are doing, or will do. It's the truest and most pure love for us, despite our flaws. When I was born, I had a brain aneurysm that should have paralyzed me from the neck down, but yet I'm walking and talking. No one's love could compare to that. Somebody in the church say amen. When it comes to Jesus' love, there's no hoops to jump through. He never gives up. Jesus loves everyone, and His love is everlasting. It's pure. Human love happens every once in a while. Jesus' love happens every second of your life. It's unconditional, non-judgmental. Because He always answers my prayers, I know He listens to my heart. Jesus' love, He still whispers, I love you, when we live like He's not worth loving. Jesus' love is unconditional. It's infinite. It's only possible because of God's love. My life hinges on and only exists because of God's love. It's different because it never stops. It's total sacrifice. It's unconditional, unwavering. Jesus' love is never ending. He'll love you through thick and thin and no matter what. Unconditional, and it never judges me in my wrongs. It's always present. Not dependent on our love for Him. He loves us no matter what. It doesn't cater to my opinions. It's absolutely unconditional, unfailing. Jesus' love is enough. It doesn't fail or fall short. It's completely unconditional. It never ends or runs away. Four unconditionals in a row from four different people. Tell me that's not important. Church, this is what I want to ask you. I'm almost finished. I'm going to let y'all preach the sermon yourself. This is what I want to know. Have you ever experienced that kind of love in your life? I mean, really. The love that I just described, that you all just described, that even our kids just described, this has a moment to be a monumental day in your life. Have you ever experienced that kind of love? The kind of love that is unconditional, that is sacrificial, that has no limits. Have you ever just sat in it and allow it to wash over you? Have you ever done that? Because if you haven't, then there's no way you're going to be able to love people the way they deserve to be loved if you've never experienced the love that He offers. That's the good news. The good news is that love's still available today. That's my Jesus still loves people like that today. You can sit in His presence today and you can feel it just wash over you. That's the good news. Now here's the bad news. When He changes that standard, when we see that shift away from love your neighbor as you love yourself, and He says, no, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Everything that I just read on my phone, everything that is in, that's written down on one of these pieces of paper, that's how Jesus expects you to love this world. That's the kind of love that He expects you to have for your neighbor. And that's a greater thing than just loving your neighbor as you love yourself. That means so much more. I ask you this morning, church, Last thing, who in your life are you loving right now that absolutely doesn't deserve it? Who in your life, like out of your friends or family, who are you loving with just such a sacrificial love that it has to come from Jesus? Because I'm thinking, if we don't have people in our lives that we're loving this way, we may be missing the point. We may be living still over that, the commandment, love neighbor as you love yourself, not the one that says, as I have loved you. Go love one another, as the words Claudia mentioned, shared with the kids this morning from Ephesians, be imitators of Christ. What you see Him do, that's what you're supposed to do. I'm praying for you this morning that you'll experience His love to such a degree that it'll just pour out of you in every other area of your life. Let's pray together and we're done. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for the words that these kids shared. I thank you for every text message that is on my phone. I'm grateful that I will be able to, in times and desperate times in the future, I'll be able to look back over this list of just beautiful, beautiful words that describe your love. I pray for the person here who may have never experienced it. God, I pray today would be the day. Even now as I'm speaking, I pray that you would be speaking to their hearts words of grace and love and peace. That you would let them know that you can provide a love for them to them that they've never known or will know aside from you. I pray that you would do that now. God, I pray for those of you, those in the room who have known you for a long time. I pray today would be a day where they would leave this place with renewed energy, not to love neighbor as self, but to love as you've loved them. Whatever word that you laid on their hearts and minds, whatever that word was, I pray that they would realize that that is how they're supposed to go and love this world around them. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us before we even deserved it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.